2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Maraj Speak, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Islam, Climate for Business Success, lecturer Imam W.D. Muhammad. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, we have an announcement. Our beloved brother Shahid Shahid, the filmmaker, brother Anwar, pardon me, son Anwar, Shahid Muhammad, passed away. We are asking everyone to pray for our brother, that Allah will forgive him his faults and his sins and grant him paradise. His janazah will be at Islamic Burial Service, LLC, 279 Roosevelt Avenue, Newark, New Jersey. Time 11 a.m., Friday, August the 12th, which is tomorrow, 22. Interment, Forest Green, Hawk Cemetery, 535 Texas Road, Marlboro, New Jersey. God, the Merciful Benefactor. Now, from the very beginning, that there is no change for you to have anything except by the means that the Creator provided. A clothing business, a contract factory, contract with cities for building roads and sidewalks, regardless of what it is. There is no possibility without the means having been provided already. The Muslim is not to see himself as a benefactor. He should first see himself as the beneficiary, no matter if it be talent or skills or the resources or material or the idea pulled out of the sky after studying the need and the environment and in the people's daily life for a product or service. The Muslim is to see himself as the beneficiary. The Muslim gives thanks to God first and then to other persons, things, situations, etc. We should say thank you to the earth. By design, Mother Earth gives us these things we need to work with. As a believer in God, we don't believe that Mother Earth designed her own nature and decided that she would have all of these treasures for human beings. We believe that a creator did that. And therefore, we give the thanks to Allah first. Now, if you understand the obligation to give credit to God, then the obligation to give credit to others starts from that point. We are also to be thankful to everybody and to everything that we get a benefit from. Our religion requires that after being thankful to God, who made it all possible, be thankful to parents, to adults, who served as parents when we were dependent upon society and could not look out for our life. Be thankful for whatever did the job of pretending for you. As you get bigger and see the earth as the producer of the things we need, then give thanks to God for the earth and have a respect for the earth. care about the earth. If you will care about the $5 or the $500 or the $5,000, you will have in your possession the same kind of regard for all that supply you, your needs, will make you very successful in the world. The Muslim is to teach his child to care about clothes, about the toys. Disrespect for anything is ultimately disrespect for yourself, and it means further in life. If we could just install duas, regards, and due respect for property, we will see changes in our lives for the better. We say God is the absolute owner. What we have, technically speaking, is not ownership, but a trust. God is the only one who can own. I am a trustee. So my ownership through legal is society. By applying the Quranic logic, is only a trust. God made all of these things available, and God decides who possesses these things. God decides whether the possessor will stay in position of these things. And we also know that every possessor loses possessions with death. Then its protection will depend upon the laws of society. There will also be circumstances and place which will determine whether the will and the wishes of that possessor will be carried out. We know people who accumulate wealth and write wills and make trust, and it does not always turn out that way. The nation can come up with new laws, legally kill what was the law before, or third world nations. So we have seen take over governments, leaving citizens and others stripped of all of their rights, planned for the future. God wants us to plan our future. He doesn't want us to have a situation where everything is by chance. We don't live by chance. We plan for our tomorrow. We are to plan for our children tomorrow. God wants us to plan for the future of our society. So if we can come up with enough resources and have success and become an influence or a factor affecting the future of our society, God obligates us to work for the good future of society. Society is first your family, then it is the people who belong to that community. Our society is our neighborhood. If you hope for your children to inherit your house and live there also, you are obligated as a Muslim to care about the future of that neighborhood. You should be looking to see how you can use some of your money, some of your profit, some of your income to protect the life and the future of your neighborhood. If we have these sensitivities, we can rise. God wants for us the best, God says of us, and the believers must win. He did not say maybe. He did not say you should. God says to us in the Quran, our holy book, the believers must achieve success. This means that there is no way for the believer to be a failure if he is truly a believer. So he or she is a full-grown believer only when he or she believes in all that God wants us to believe in. You can believe in making prayer, in fasting Ramadan, in God and his angels, the judgment day, the resurrection after death. Those are all wonderful. However, also plan for yourself and for your children who are coming behind you. Don't see your children as one other than yourself. Your children are from you. Know that your life, it is in those children. Their non-physical self is also man from you. much from you, pardon me. So we know associates, they have wills also contribute something to their personality and makeup. We know teachers will be contributing something, but they are formed first in the care of the parent. The whole life is formed there. Certain interests and feelings for what is proper and proper may pace for what is good and bad. My discipline that keeps me from losing myself in certain situations, I did get that on my own. I got this mostly from my mother and father and sisters and brothers and associates. For me, it was mostly my mother who was with me practically all the time while my father was on a road for many, many years of my childhood. I thank God for my mother, and I will find myself cooking like I saw my mother doing it in her kitchen. Whatever we got from God, we should feel an obligation to God to manage its will and to respect it and to fulfill every obligation that God places on us. There is an obligation to myself personally, an obligation to my close relatives, to my aging parents. We should be on the side of those Americans who hate homes for the elderly. We know that we have to have them because we can't do better. We should be with those Americans who want to change the system so that a poor son and daughter can care for their parents as they want to. We hope there will come a day when the government will have enough funds for our poor families to care for their aging members the way they want to care for them. If you don't have the faculty in your home to keep your parents with you, then the government should help you get a big enough place and hire a person, hopefully a member of your family, to take care of the aging family members. This is a futuristic social idea for many in America that I believe is coming one day. The interest and the motivation are in our scripture, the Quran. If I were a Christian, I could preach the same to that Christian audience and be coming from the text of the scripture. If I was a Jew, I could do the same before their audience. Do not live only for today. Our prophet said, live today as though you are going to live always. I should plan to have what I will need for tomorrow and for the years down the road. Plan for a long future. Don't have a 7-day plan and then get a 5-day notice at the end of the month. Have a 30-day plan and a 365-day plan and a 5-year and a 10-year and a 15-year and a 20-year plan. Envision what you want for your children 20 years from today and have that as a plan. Plan to save money for your children's education. Plan to work on a business idea with your family members. Plan to plan a business establishment for your children to come into. Even if you already have business establishment for yourself at this time, we want change. The nation cannot carry a growing citizen or poor people with no check on it. The dignity of the individual and the dignity of the business. Let Muslims remember that Islam obligates us to accept that it is our responsibility to make some contributions to our community. Muslims should dislike their poverty and see it as indignity. Of something that takes away from their personal worth and dignity, Prophet Muhammad said, and hand that it is giving to above the hand that is receiving. The Prophet did not want to be a community where the majority have our hands stretched out to receive. Also, God wants us to feel uncomfortable with ourselves not producing, but begging. This religion of Islam obligates the Muslim society to give money to people who are too proud to ask for it. It respects that pride in the person, obligates us by its laws to not just give to the person asking, but to also to the person in need, but too dignified to ask for anything. That's an encouragement for us to have social dignity. After our obedience to God and our focus becomes valued with many interests, as I have presented earlier, when it comes to Juma prayer on Friday, God says that when Muslims have completed the prayer, then dispense into the avenues of business and profit. Go back to your work Friday, which is called Juma, is the best day in the year. The Prophet taught us it was even better than the Eid al-Adha and the Eid al-Fitr, the two major holidays for Muslims each year. On this special day for Muslim, God said, rush to come and participate in the Juma prayer. And when you have finished, then dispense. God did not say, when you finish, maybe you would like to dispense and go back to your businesses and make some more money. God says dispense. It's instructional. If you are without the material success, you must have to beg to go to the welfare office, and you will find a lot of spiritual people coming there for help. There is no such thing as staying without any material life. God wants you to have, prove yourself in this world of challenges. Islam obligates all of us, even the poor ones, to grow up and to advance materially so that we will have dignity and a final good future for the community. Let us have a better and dignified relationship with the business establishments in our society, whether they are owned and run by Muslims or not. We need to know that the value of those businesses establishments to the society, the habits of most African Americans makes us weaker than other groups. We want respect for the relationship with the business establishment that supplies our needs. Look at other ethnicities and their relationships with their suppliers. People get into argument with their suppliers, but it is with the understanding that they will not abandon that supplier for the most part. The African-American argument ends the relationship. Others will care about their relationship that they have built over the years with the supplier. They will argue but will not part company. Therefore, the supplier will listen to their argument and will try to please their demands. We all want to have that kind of relationship, one that we can care about, and we don't want it just for today. Predominantly in the African-American community, there is a record of treating his suppliers of service businesses, his restaurants, etc., like it is a temporary love affair. He treats the restaurant in his neighborhood like he has no invested interest in seeing that he is unfaithful to his favorite restaurant and will change at a whim. It is like the poor husband with no family, former, future, who sees a pretty woman and is excited to get to know her. Then he sees another and excited all over again to get to know her. You cannot have that kind of relationship with the businesses in your community or anywhere and be successful. Let us build a trust between our suppliers and us and between our customers and us. Let us have this bond. You have a good store in this neighborhood. You have a good business in this neighborhood. We want to support you, and we want you to be fair by us. You are a good business person, and we want you to live here or survive here, and we want you to have a long future in our neighborhood. Talk to your suppliers. If one person cannot do that, then form a neighborhood community to work to bring about strong bonds between the suppliers and their customers, and a big change for us will be seen. Muhammad, the last prophet, was a businessman. His life was that of commerce and trade. He was employed by Lady Khadija. May God be pleased with her, a wealthy lady. She saw such great future in him that she turned her business over to him, and he made it even more successful. She eventually proposed marriage to Muhammad, the prophet, and he accepted her proposal. So let us know that the Islamic interest in its financial and business content and focus. What about the Million Man March? Imam W.D. Muhammad gave this response to the following question at a public address in Decatur, Illinois, on September the 10th, 1995. What is your position on Minister Louis Farrakhan's Million Man March? Imam W.D. Muhammad. My position, number one, is that this is not in the way of the practice of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was very, very strongly against marches on Washington's or marches to the White House or marches on the government. He was strongly against it. He commanded the civil rights movement very strongly for that. He condemned the civil rights movement very strongly for that. He said that instead of begging them and organizing to go demonstrate before them to beg for something, that we should organize to do something. We need a million man march on the blight and the neglect, property neglect, personal neglect, family neglect, in our own African American community. We need a million man march on our own neglect, that we are neglecting ourselves, neglecting our families, and neglecting our neighborhood, that we are not putting business in our own neighborhood, just doing nothing and remaining idle as businessmen and business people, and letting every other race put their businesses there to serve and supply us with our needs. To march on that, I am ready. I will join him right now. If he wants to have a million-man march or a 1,000-man march or a 100-man march against that kind of thing in our neighborhood, something to shock us into more responsibility for our own life and our own circumstances and our own future, if he wants to march like that, then I am ready to join his march. But if he wants a march just to show President Bill Clinton that he can get 1 million young blacks together, then I am not going to join that. If he wants to demonstrate that we don't have jobs, which he hasn't made that clear, if he wants to demonstrate to the White House and to the country that I have a million men here won't accept that we don't have unemployment and we demand 1 million jobs, I won't join him. Why? If we can get 1 million men to listen to us, then we can create 1 million jobs. All we need is a million men, and we will create a million jobs. If those million men, instead of marching on Washington, would just agree to buy from us, we will find talent enough and qualified businessmen. And if to support them and be hired by them or man, we will have a black economy, an African-American economy that is out of the sight in a matter of days with a million men supporting it. Thank you very much. Peace be on you. As-salamu alaykum. Imam W. Dean Muhammad assesses Million Man March September 29, 1995. When I made this statement in Dakota, no clear statement had been made by Minister Louis Farrakhan on the purpose of the march. I wholeheartedly support and urge our young African-American men to accept responsibility for themselves, their wives, their children, and their families, and their community throughout America. This calls for more serious attention to the problem in the personal life, family life, and neighborhood life. Our organization should get involved. I am prepared to join Minister Farrakhan and the organizers of the march behind a serious effect that's neighborhood based. I do not think a march of a million men in the better way to bring attention to the problem. The answer is not marching. The cost of the march could be best spent on a business growth plan in the African American community, for the purpose of hiring more of our African-American males. This statement was sent to Minister Louis Farrakhan, a dialogue in dialectic by Abdul Majid P. Mena. And the fireman has he raised high, and he has set up the balance in order that ye may not transgress balance. So establish weight with justice and fall not short in the balance. Holy Quran, Surah 55, verse 7 to 9. Economy balance. Utilizing the universal message of the Holy Quran and the Surah of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, Imam W. D. Muhammad transformed the battleground from one dynamic by race, politics, and classes to one that challenges us to see within the context of America multicultural societies, the common interests, pardon me, the common mission of the Abrahamic faith, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, in such ways that cooperative effects can be made toward securing social justice, safer neighborhoods, and a climate for optimum human development. It is within this context that Imam W. D. Muhammad has planned his dynamic book, Islamic Climate for Business Success. It is this book Imam W. D. Muhammad underscores the Islamic perspective on business development, works, and the social economic process, unlike capitalism, which seeks to maximize profit by the supplier to occupying itself with the accumulation of capital at the expense of social justice and the fair distribution of wealth, and socialism, which relies on state-owned enterprises to accumulate, manage, and distribute wealth. Islam views business and works at a magnetism for attaining social justice, material freedom from slavery and poverty, and ultimately as a means of accessing a gate of paradise. The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, "The honest is prophet." Within the context of the American experience, Imam W. D. Muhammad identified honest merchandising and honest trade as that which addresses the honest and lawful needs and legitimate necessities of people at a reasonable and honest price. He condemned as evil the practice of profit in engineering in American society, which creates artificial needs and appetites, the practice of selling the sizzle and not the steak creates enslavement to a chain of desire and dependency that malnourish human spirit. Using the body of women, the self-cause and conflict motherhood, and degrade the human family. Economic begins with establishment of true value and ends with value that establishes truth and social justice. Thus, Imam Muhammad underscores that productivity is a process that begins in the ocean of self-investment in the family and the home economics of creating a balanced family budget and balanced penetrating guidance, parental guidance, pardon me. The foregoing creates a climate for business and success in society. Imam Muhammad also condemned enslaved nations that money is the root of all evil. In the 1970s, a flamboyant evangelist, Reverend Ike, said, "The lack of money is the root of evil." Imam W. D. Muhammad makes it clear that Allah, the owner and the maker of all things material and non-material in the heavens and the earth, intercedes that man engages in big business, but that man has to purify their motives. The worst pig, he says, is not the pig forbidden to be eaten by the Masonic Christians and Islamic law, but the pig in the man's building, binding spirit. Islam provides for the balance between both messianic monkiness and materialism. The balance in the social context of forming alliance for social economic development. Muslims are a religious minority in America, comprising about 8% of the population. Islam considered in some areas as the second largest religion in America after Christianity. It is certainly the fastest growing religion in America. The influx of ethnic Muslims from Asia, Africa, and the Middle East to America in the late 1980s and the early 1990s, together with conversions of American blacks and whites in record numbers, promises to make Islam a new dynamic force in American marketplace. Imam Muhammad, in this book, calls Muslims to understand that though a dialogue amongst Muslims, Christians, Jews, and others, right-minded people, the adherents of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism can join forces to combat the Goliath-like materialism that threatens to destroy social total values. His call from we announce in the tradition of both Jews and Christians, Torah and the rabbinic law, underscore that wealth accumulation is for social distribution and for socioeconomic justice. Leviticus 25:35, Deuteronomy 15:7-8, Deuteronomy 20:19-20, hoarding regarded in the Talmud in the same contemptuous light as those who led money with interest. See Bagger Barrow, Tactics 90B, Miskirat 14:5-6, Hushan Mishpat 2:37-24, the Torah forbids wronging people in business. See Leviticus 25:14, the Talmudic community of the sages states that in business is accounted to a man as though he had fulfilled the whole Torah. See Menonitis, the commandment, see 2:38, Matthew 40:26. Likewise, Christianity calls for accumulation and distribution of wealth and opportunity in accord with the need of the community balance and notions of achievement and contract with distributive justice. See Christianity and Economics, Jolensberg and Snyder, 1991. See also Pons 128-2, Thessalonians 3:8-4, 9-12, Ephesians 28, Acts 20:35-32, through corrupt cooperative alliances on the common grounds, one God, one creation, and one humanity. Imam Muhammad calls Muslims, Christians, and Jews to restrain the excessive of materialistic appetites in American society and resurrect the prophetic notions of distributive justice, equal opportunity and right conduct in business. Consolution, no debt, prophet of Allah, a brotherhood of perhaps thousands reflecting all human diversity from Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, who all came to establish two things on earth. Obedience to the universal law and decree of the one true living God, and the balance reflecting in their message and reflected in the unalterated scripture of Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike and others. It is a balance that would right the scales of social justice and ensure equitable distribution of wealth and the equal opportunity, access to the marketplace of goods and education. This balance does not countenance nationality, putting of one tribe over the other, cultural imperialism, materialism, or the and thoroughment of any individual distinction. The earth is a miracle amongst billions of planets, and stars, and that it uniquely, as far as we know, has a climate best suitable to sustain human life. W. Dean Muhammad, in using the dialectic miracles of the Quran, seeks to identify and inspire Islam's dimension as the climate for business success within the content of the experiment, and an experiment called America. The America experiment, an experience under the Constitution, spirit allows in theory all men to enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, wealth. However, as the international civilization, so to speak, American citizens require that its people, Muslims, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Asian, African, European, Pacific Islands, Samoans, or native people understand the uniqueness so that each can contribute to the common good. Islam, Muhammad's books detail the Islamic perspective and offers a balanced formula for establishing human beings, human businesses, success in America. We want carefully reading and an open mind. Abdul Majid T. Mena, G.D., Doctor of Law, New York University School of Law, 1984, M.A., American History, Columbus University, 1981, B.A., English Literature, Columbia University, 1973. 1 second, in a minute. So this is the Reverend Barbara Brown Zitmot, president of the Hartford Seminary, presented Imam W.D. Muhammad with the Cup of Compassion, Hartford, Connecticut, December the 9th, 1994. Prison Art Bland with the Islamic Minaret, and historical symbol of the Muslim call to unity and the gathering of prayers. It is the home of the new regional theater located in Chicago, Illinois, the site of a major public address given by Imam W.D. Muhammad on May 2, 1993, and the former structure used as an Islamic center. Right to left, Reverend D. Lemann Baptiste, Executive Officer of the African Health Foundation, Dr. Hassan Abdullah Tarabdi, Secretary General of the Popular Arab and Islamic Conference, and Imam W.D. Muhammad during the March 1994 trip to the Sudan with the African American Friendship Delegation, Sister Khadija Nadira, owner of DKW Construction Inc., a Muslim convert, must know the history of Lady Khadija, the Prophet's wife. Sister Khadija stands as one of her organizing multimillionaire dollar projects. She has already begun to provide her business skills to the Muslim community. This concludes this section. We thank Imam Wafdi Muhammad for his extreme work that he has done in the Islamic climate for business success. Tomorrow we will begin the tafsir of Imam Waqif Muhammad. We thank you, our honorable listening audience, and may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And remember that tomorrow, our beloved brother Shahid, the filmmaker, his son Anwar, Shahid Muhammad, passed away. And we are asking everyone to pray for our brother, that Allah will forgive him his faults and his sins and grant him paradise. His janaza will be at Islamic Burial Service, LLC, 279 Roosevelt Avenue, North New Jersey. Time, 11 a.m., Friday, August the 12th, which is tomorrow, 2022. Interment, Forest Green Park Cemetery, 535 Texas Road, Mulberry, New Jersey. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. And bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.